let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Ephesians 4:29. Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a great verse to keep in mind when talking with anyone, but especially your spouse, and especially when you're having a disagreement. I'll talk about that with Howard Dayton today, and it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, he's no stranger to this program since he used to host it, but Howard Dayton is also the founder of Compass Finances God's Way and author of Money and Marriage God's Way. Howard, great to have you back with us.
Oh, wonderful to be with you, Rob.
It's always great to have you, Howard. And we're taking another peek inside Money and Marriage, your book, and you've got a great chapter in it on how to resolve conflicts over money. It's something all married couples should learn, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, money is one of the most common areas of conflict for couples, Rob. Yeah. God knew that we'd have conflicts and even anger in our marriages, but when we resolve our anger, it can keep us from damaging our relationship. I love what Romans 12, verse 18 tells us. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And you might be surprised to learn that conflict isn't always bad. In fact, it can be a tool for strengthening the relationship. The way I like to describe it is it's just like a thunderstorm that can be terrifying, but it helps clean the air. So our goal should be to handle conflict well, with you and your spouse sharing your hearts with each other in a caring and positive way, trying to listen and be heard while connecting on a deep level. But unfortunately, many couples just don't know how to handle conflict well.
Well, that is so true. But you list, Howard, three factors that are essential to convert harmful conflicts into healthy ones. First, goodwill on the part of both spouses. Second, a written agreement on how to conduct themselves during conflict. And then an understanding of the importance of forgiveness. Let's move through these quickly, starting with goodwill. What do you mean by that?
Well, when conflict comes, Rob, loving and wanting the best for each other is the foundation for handling it in a healthy way. Yeah. Now, this is really important. The more your mate is certain of your love, the greater the goodwill between the two of you and the easier it is to work through difficult issues. So ask yourself if these verses accurately describe your attitude towards your mate and how you treat your mate. From 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 5, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. And then verse 7 goes on to say, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And frankly, if you're not treating your spouse in these ways, I encourage you, spend time with the Lord. Ask Him to change your heart and your actions. Be candid with your wife or husband. If need be, ask forgiveness for your actions. And as you're faithful to live out these powerful verses, your marriage will be transformed all for the better.
Mm. That's really good. All right, factor two is to resolve conflict over money with a written agreement. Tell us more.
That's right, Rob. It's crucial for couples to write down agreed upon ground rules for healthy conflict. Here's the key. Before conflict erupts, Your agreement should be designed to foster open communication, love and respect for each other, and resolution of a problem.
Yeah, that's great. And I can see how that would be helpful to have that done in advance. All right, the third factor is forgiveness. This is, of course, a big idea.
Yeah, God realizes it's tremendously important for couples to forgive each other. Genuine forgiveness is really a key for healthy conflict and a great marriage. When you've wronged your mate, be quick to sincerely apologize and ask for forgiveness. And if you were the one wronged, also be quick, but quick to forgive.
Well, Howard, always great advice. And in this case, great advice for resolving marital conflict over money and frankly, anything else. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Great to be with you, Rob.
That's Howard Dayton. You can find out a lot more in his book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stick around.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. With everyone in isolation, almost instantly available, watching for the next person to social media them, all of us are on the same level for sharing our faith. Even the most introverted person among us can have a huge voice today. All of us are receiving a continuous flow of information, with most of it bad, but some of it good and some of it powerfully good, for explaining who God is and where He is in the midst of the chaos. Profound stories of miracles and life-changing messages abound. Don't let them go to waste. Make it your mission every day to use every message and story that changes your life that day to change the lives of your unsaved friends. It's so easy. Just tell your friends, here's a story that I think you'll enjoy, knowing full well it'll move them closer to Jesus. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Just a reminder, we're not here today, so we can't take your live calls. Let's go to the phones. Wooster, Ohio, WCRF. Joel, you're our first caller. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi, Rob. First of all, just thank you for taking my call.
I'm glad to do it. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. I just recently got engaged to my now fiance, and we're kind of just looking ahead, planning to get married about this time next year, and want to know what your advice is, both from a financial standpoint of how to prepare financially, but also how to prepare just kind of for handling our finances together and kind of to be as a team on that after marriage.
I'm delighted you're asking that, Joel, because this is often a missed step as an engaged couple prepares for marriage. You know, we go through the typical premarital counseling, and that's critical. But is the financial side truly addressed? And if this is going to be potentially the largest source of conflict, it is for 70% of couples, then it seems like it'd be worthwhile to really lean into it. And obviously, your question demonstrates that you have a desire to do that. I would say the first thing, Joel, is to really communicate with intentionality about this topic, looking both back
at the present and in the future. And here's what I mean by that. Looking back, I'd be wanting to talk about things like, how was money handled growing up? You know, that's probably the largest driver of how we handle money today, is watching our mom and dad do it. What kind of financial situation were we in? Were we in a situation where we had an abundance, or were we just scraping by? And kind of what was modeled for you, and how has that really affected who you are today in terms of handling God's money? And then I would also want to look back just to say, how has God wired each of us? Are we more inclined to be spenders or savers? And it's not that one's right or wrong, good or bad. It's really just, how has God wired us? And let's just acknowledge that as we think about bringing our finances together. With regard to the present, I'd be talking about things like, what kind of lifestyle do we want to lead? You know, if God were to continue to bless us financially, is there a limit to that? What is that cap? And what do we feel like God's calling us to for a lifestyle standpoint? But also in our giving, where does that fit? Does it come first? And kind of, how much do we want to do? Is it really about, you know, starting with the tithe, or is it the tithe plus more? Is that just the beginning point? And then as you look to the future, begin to think about, you know, as a married couple, as one flesh, where is God taking us? What are our values and priorities? And how does that then inform the goals that we'll set about for, you know, about the future? Is it really about accumulating more so we can, you know, save for specific things? Is there giving goals that you have? You know, what are those goals? Being debt-free potentially could be a goal, especially if you have student loan debt, that type of thing. So I think having that conversation, looking back, looking at the present, looking into the future would be important. There's some mechanical parts to this as well. I think, you know, really sharing credit reports and having a proper understanding of where you all are at financially in terms of your balance sheet, assets and liabilities, beginning to take a stab at that spending plan that you'll operate off of that accounts for all the income sources that you have and prioritizes your giving and your saving and your debt repayment, and then that lifestyle that you're going to lead based on the income that you have, but where it's all been put together and you're starting to work through that. And then who is going to be the bookkeeper? You both need to be involved in all of the decisions, but the question is, you know, is there one who's perhaps more detail-oriented, who wants to kind of be the one to manage the accounts and pay the bills, whether that's electronic or otherwise, and beginning to work on some of those more mechanical pieces, I think, are really important as well. So I think if you were to do those things, Joel, you'd certainly be on a great trajectory. If you wanted to take it to the next level, one thing that I've seen some couples do, and I love this idea, is to have a mentor couple specifically related to this area of finance, an older, perhaps more seasoned couple from your church who's willing to just kind of walk alongside you, maybe just for the first year, maybe you meet once a quarter and just kind of talk about how you merge your financial life under the Lord, but now in marriage. And then the last thing I would say is do some reading on this. In fact, if you hold the line when we're done here, I'll send you, just as our gift to you, Howard Dayton's book called Money and Marriage, God's Way. And I think if you were to read that together, maybe a chapter at a time, talk about it, that'll give you some additional, I think, grounding in all of these ideas around money management, but from a biblical worldview. Is that helpful?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you very much. I never thought of looking backward and seeing how, you know, differences were growing up. So that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Well, you'll be surprised at how that conversation goes. Not that it won't be positive. I think it will hopefully absolutely be positive, but a lot of people miss that. And it really has so much to do with who we are today. And it'll be, I think, just an interesting discussion as you think through that and you evaluate how some of those experiences, you know, as children really inform how each of you handle money today, and just being able to acknowledge that and then use that as a tool to perhaps drive toward even greater oneness as you think about handling money moving forward. So listen, all the best to you, Joel. Congratulations on your upcoming marriage, and hold the line. We'll get your information, get that book right out to you. Thanks for calling. Chicago, Hilda, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob, I have two questions. The first question is about I-bonds. If I purchase I-bonds for my nephews for their birthday the next couple of days, is there an implication for me in the long term in my taxes?
No, and you can purchase them for another individual. So you can actually buy them for yourself and then for your nephew, and you won't have any tax issues. The most you can purchase for yourself or another individual is $10,000 a year, and that's well below the gift tax exemption of $16,000. Even if you went above it, you wouldn't have any taxes due. You'd just have to report it. If they're minors, you'd have to set up what's called a custodial account for them at treasurydirect.gov. That'll be linked to your account there, but it really is a custodial account. So it's their asset. It just doesn't become under their control until the age of majority, which is typically 18. So once you establish your account, you open theirs, link them to yours as the custodial accounts, then you can purchase the electronic bonds there at treasurydirect.gov.
Thank you. And when you purchase it, it's not like it's open-ended where you can put more money in it. You have to do a whole other purchase.
No, you can add to it over time. You're just limited to $10,000 a year in electronic bonds per person per calendar year.
Oh, okay. All right. And then my second question was I wanted to open an account or help my son, who's 18, open an account for his Roth IRA. And what are those limits? Like if I want to give him $6,000, put him right away in his Roth IRA, but is there a limit for that? Since he does work part-time?
Yes, there is. You can only put in up to the limit, but only up to the amount that he has earned income. So if he doesn't have earned income up to $6,000 for the year, then you would only be able to put in up to the amount of earned income he had. Now, if he's got more than $6,000, you would be capped at the $6,000 limit. But if he doesn't have earned income up to that amount, you wouldn't be able to put in the full $6,000 in that custodial Roth IRA in his name.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And check out, not all custodians offer the custodial Roth IRA, which, by the way, I love that idea. I know Fidelity does and Charles Schwab does as well. So you could look at either of those to open those accounts. But yeah, you are going to be limited to the amount of earned income that he has as a young man working part time. Hopefully he can get all the way to $6,000, but he may not be able to either. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put just, back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, if you haven't downloaded the MoneyWise app, we'd love for you to do so. It's a great resource. In fact, when I was looking for a digital approach to managing our spending for the West family, I couldn't find one that I loved every facet of. There was always something missing that I wanted in a money management system. So we said, let's hire some developers and set out to build what we believe is not only the best money management system in the palm of your hand through a smartphone app, but also puts all of the content that we aggregate from the leading content providers in Christian finance, plus our community where you can post questions and get answers from our coaches and other stewards on the journey. Let's put all of that in one place in a smartphone app. It seems like everything we do these days is in apps. And we came up with the MoneyWise app several years ago. Now more than 31,000 of you are using it actively. And we're delighted. It's growing quickly, and our team is doing a masterful job continuing to update it and support you. So if you want to be a part of downloading the MoneyWise app and managing your spending, which I think now is more important than ever in light of the increased costs everywhere we look, just head to your app store. Wherever you download apps and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance, you can download it today. All right, let's head back to the phones. Tampa, Florida. Kevin, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? My wife and I have anywhere between like $60,000, $70,000 in savings in checking. And we know it's not a good idea to keep it all there, that we should have, you know, our 4 to 6 month emergency fund. But we want to invest because we know we're throwing away money by just leaving it in the bank. And considering the markets today, we'd like some advice as far as what is the best kind of investment that we could make today.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, whenever we talk about putting money to work, we always have to define the time horizon on that money to make sure that the time horizon matches the liquidity, how quickly we can get access to the money, and the risk associated with it. Because if there is risk associated with the growth, meaning we can grow it, but we can also lose money, but over time we expect that long-term trend to be up, even though if we can't predict every move in the short term, then we need to have a time horizon that allows us to realize the full potential of that money without having to pull it out prematurely and potentially take a loss. So you described $60,000 in savings. This is liquid right now, Kevin, in a savings or checking account. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And is this in addition to long-term retirement savings that you might be doing through a company-sponsored retirement plan or something else?
No. Well, I'm on I get a pension and I get Social Security disability.
Okay.
So that's the kind of long-term.
Yes. So you're no longer working, either unable to or beyond your working years. Is that right?
Correct. I'm 60 and my wife is 50.
Okay. And she's continuing to work or no?
On and off, she'll work some part-time work.
Okay. And your pension plus disability, Social Security, is enough to cover your expenses month to month?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Very good. So with the $60,000, what would you say you guys spend on a monthly basis? Whether you have a spending plan or not, if you were to total up all the fixed expenses, the things you get a bill for, plus the discretionary spending, you know, eating out or buying some clothes or a semi-annual insurance payment, what does it take for you to run your house over a 30-day period?
Probably about $3,500.
Okay. Let's just bump that up and say it's an even 4,000. You know, it's 6 months expenses. I would say on the high end, probably 24,000 you would want in a liquid savings account. Now you could go either direction from that. You could say, well, I feel confident enough in my income sources. The pension and Social Security are essentially guaranteed. And if they're enough to cover our expenses, then we feel like we could have a little less than that. Others might say, no, I'd like a little more than 6 months, but let's say around that 24,000 is what we'll designate as your emergency fund. That amount, despite the fact that, you know, there's nothing exciting about an online savings account, I would still leave that in a liquid savings account, earning some interest, but where it's readily available, because by definition, an emergency fund is to cover the unexpected. And frankly, we just don't know when that's going to happen. So we want it liquid and available. I'd use an online savings account just because you're going to get right now, whereas they were paying, you know, 0.5%, half of 1%. Now they're paying on average about 1.5%. So you can get a percent and a half, let's say at Marcus.com or Ally Bank or Capital One 360, one of those. And that's at least something, even though that's not terribly exciting. It's safe, it's liquid, there's no fees, and you're getting 1.5%. Whatever you decide that kind of number is for you all that's an emergency fund, that I would subtract out of that $60,000. Now, let's say that is $24,000, and you may decide to do something different. Then you've got $36,000 left. And I think we've got to, again, define the time horizon on this. You know, if you see a need for this money, you have a car that's going to wear out, you know, pretty soon. You have the potential for some major medical expenses that, you know, are on the horizon. If you see something in a fairly short term, you know, timetable, then I wouldn't look to invest that in the stock and bond market. I'd probably look, at least right now, toward what I was just talking about with the prior caller, which is I-bonds. You and your wife each, well, together, could put $20,000 into inflation bonds, $10,000 apiece, and right now they're paying 9.62%. You'd only have to keep it there for a year, but, you know, on $20,000, 9.6% with essentially no risk is a phenomenal investment, given everything else that is out there that you might weigh that against. Give me your thoughts, though. I've got about 30 seconds before I need to take a break.
No. That's excellent. That's excellent. Like I said, I'm worried about today's market. That's about
it.
But
the
I-bond sound like a good idea.
Okay.
I appreciate
Treasury,
it.
Yeah, treasurydirect.gov is the place to go. I'd put the 24,000 in one of those online banks, at least get a little bit of interest. You can link that to your checking account electronically, so it's not in your checking account, but it's a couple of days away from an ACH transfer with no cost, and I think that's a great way to go. And then perhaps with $20,000, you do the I-bonds. Anything that's longer term, I would look to take advantage of these depressed stock market levels. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more Money Wise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, MoneyWise Media is listener-supported. We're a not-for-profit ministry that relies on your gifts to do the ministry we're called to each day. With this radio broadcast, our work in the MoneyWise app at moneywise.org, our MoneyWise coaches, all of the resources that we're providing to God's people are a direct result of listener support. And so if you consider you're part of the MoneyWise community and you benefit from this program and you'd like to give a gift to MoneyWise Media, we'd certainly appreciate that. You can head to our website, moneywise.org. Just click the Give button and you'll be able to give one time over the phone. You can set up a monthly gift. We'll even give you the mailing address there if you'd rather send a gift through the mail. But thanks in advance, especially here at month end as we try to stay on budget. Yes, we operate from a budget as well. That would be great to have your support. Again, moneywise.org, just click give. Let's head back to the questions. Hastings, Nebraska. Dean, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. What is your counsel for the elderly couple that would be selling their business and trying to avoid sending half of it into taxes?
My counsel would be to call my friends at the National Christian Foundation before you sell. And here's why. With a business, just like you can with other appreciated assets like real estate or stocks and bonds or art, for that matter, with a business, you can actually give away a portion of the business prior to the sale, and that portion of the business would then, upon liquidation, avoid capital gains tax and go right into a donor-advised fund that you could then give away. So if you're looking to be generous, there is absolutely a way to do it where you can avoid a lot of taxes and get a lot more ministry or a lot more money going right into ministry through a not-for-profit organization. And the reason I mention NCF, the National Christian Foundation, is they are the biggest, the largest, the oldest charity that does this type of thing, founded by not only the late Larry Burkett, but also Ron Blue and Terry Parker. They've given away, well, they just crossed, I believe, the 15 I don't know that number. They're giving away billions a year, essentially. But it's money that's flowing through NCF. And here's where they really shine is their gift planning attorneys. The team there at the National Christian Foundation is the best anywhere at helping you understand the most effective and efficient strategy to effect a gift like this and do it in a way that meets your needs and desires, but making sure that it all stands up to, you know, of course, the law and the IRS. So that's what I would do, Dean. But does that trigger any additional questions for you?
Yes. Do you believe that your kingdom advisors would have more information about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you could reach out to a certified kingdom advisor and mention that you'd like to think about this as a part of the sale and mention the National Christian Foundation. And because of how closely we work with NCF here at MoneyWise and also at Kingdom Advisors, they would be very familiar. You could also just reach out directly, Dean, to NCF, and then, of course, bring your advisor along too. NCFgiving.com. They have local offices around the country, or you could work with the national office out of Atlanta. So either way, going through a CKA and mentioning that this is something you'd like to do, or going directly and then getting your advisor involved in that conversation would work. The key is that you put all this together prior to the sale to make sure that you can do it most effectively.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Dean, thanks for calling. God bless you, my friend. Let's head to Orlando. Becky, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling because I'm finally at a point where I've put money where it needs to go for savings and things like that. I'm looking at my investments. With today's market and whatnot, I have an opportunity to put to up my 401k giving for the rest of the year to reach my max.
Sure.
And I didn't know whether if that was the best place to put it right now, considering the market, or... And I'm about 40 for reference as far as retirement saving.
Yeah. Well, I love that idea, Becky. The only thing I would ask is, do you have any consumer debt, like high interest credit card debt? And secondly, do you also have an emergency fund?
Yes, emergency fund, no debt. I just bought a house 2 years ago with very little interest. So
great.
That's the only thing I have is the home.
So I would, I definitely would increase this, try to get it up to the max. I would do it systematically, like monthly. So go ahead and up the percentage, and your, you know, HR department or finance director, whoever you work for, could tell you what that amount is that would get you to the max. And then I would absolutely do that now. You know, a lot of folks think, well, the market's volatile, it's down, now's the not the time to do it. It's actually the opposite of that. This is the best time to do it. You don't want to buy at the top. You want to begin dollar cost averaging into the market, which just means systematic contributions over time, which is what you're doing through salary deferral into a 401k. You want to do that, you know, when the market's down. And the great thing is that, you know, we don't know where the market's going. It could be up, you know, 2,000 points between now and next month, or it could be down 2,000. We don't know. If somebody tells you they do know, they're not being truthful. So because we don't know where the market's going, except that the long-term trends, despite recessions and high inflation and, you know, oil embargoes, the long-term trend is up. It's the very best way to overcome inflation and build wealth over, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So for that reason, I would say just bump up your monthly contributions and get that money going right into that 401k. I think that's a great idea.
Okay. So if I can just put it into one of those managed accounts, you know, where they say like moderate risk or high risk accounts, and they kind of balance it out for me, you think that's okay? Or should I dive down into the more of the details?
Yeah. How much do you have in there currently?
45,000 maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You could do that. I mean, they probably have what are called either target date or life cycle funds in there, that basically you give them your target retirement date and they automatically decide through that what percentage should be in stocks versus bonds. And it gets more conservative automatically over time. That's probably the easiest way to do it in terms of, you know, making sure that, you know, it's being rebalanced with intentionality. But beyond that, you certainly could take a deeper dive either by doing the research yourself or by getting an advisor to weigh in on this and take a look at it for you.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you for the encouragement. I was on the phone.
All right.
So.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, sure. And thanks for calling and checking in with us today. We appreciate it. Hey, we've got a lot more questions coming up here. We'll get to them just after the break. But let me mention quickly before we take our next break that the MoneyWise app can help you create a plan to pay your bills, pay off your debt, automate your savings, and set other money goals. The app lets you choose actually from 3 different budgeting options depending on your management style, and it's available on both desktop or mobile. All of this conveniently located in one place. Plus, if you need biblical advice, and who doesn't, it's right there in our community tab where you can post questions and get answers from other stewards on the journey and our MoneyWise coaches, but also our Learn tab where you can find the best content in Christian finance, podcasts, articles, and videos. It's all there in the MoneyWise app. You can get it wherever you get your apps. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. Download it today, MoneyWise Biblical Finance. I think you'll be glad you did. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're headed to Wisconsin and Oklahoma City and Lakeland and Central Florida, perhaps your question as well. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Your eyes can tell the difference between more than 10 million colors, the equivalent of a 576 megapixel camera. But having eyes doesn't mean you can see. Like in John 9, Jesus giving sight to the blind man, and the Pharisees simply refusing to believe that Jesus had actually performed that miracle. Listen to the way that Jesus responded to them. For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Spiritual sight is something only God can give, and we need it to behold, to believe, ultimately to walk with Jesus. Invest in your walk with God today with Anchor Devotional. Get it in print at getanchor.com.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Back to the phones we go to Wisconsin. Kevin, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. My question basically is, should I cash in my 401k and pay off the balance of our debt?
Yeah, so give me a breakdown of what you've got, Kevin. How much is in your 401k?
We have $187,000. In our 401k, we owe $215,000 on our house. I have about $40,000 cash on hand. And right now on our house, we're paying 3.25% interest on a 10-year loan. And that comes out currently at $20 a day is the interest. So it's roughly $7,200 a year.
Mm-hmm. And how far into that 10-year loan are you?
We're 3 years in.
Okay, so you have that paid off in 7 years. Are you adding anything to it currently on a monthly basis?
No.
Okay, and what is your age and proximity to retirement?
Okay, well, I'm 63. I don't plan to retire anytime soon.
Okay.
Mainly because I like what I'm doing. I'm actually a pastor.
Oh, cool.
And we have other investments. We won't need the 401k in retirement.
You won't need it in retirement. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, a couple of thoughts. I mean, that's an interesting piece. Most folks who are calling asking this question could use that 401k in retirement just as another source, another asset that could generate income to supplement Social Security or whatever else. But if you don't need it, that obviously puts it on the table. You know, what I would typically say in a situation like this is you've got a low interest rate, you're on your trajectory to at least have it paid off by retirement. And by the way, just so I can acknowledge it, I share your view on retirement. I don't think we should take our cues from the world on this, that there's a kind of an expiration date that we have where we just move to a life of leisure. I believe God's calling on our life is throughout the whole of our lives, and we were to be workers before the fall, and we're made in the image of a worker himself, God, who was a creator, and we're to take his creation and improve it. And, you know, there's just incredible opportunity in that, whether we're in vocational ministry like you are or ministry in any other capacity in the marketplace or even at home as a stay-at-home mom or dad. So I think, you know, I love that idea, but what I would typically say is at a minimum, let's line up the payoff with our home with our retirement where we might stop paid work and redirect to something else or part-time work or something like that. And that takes that biggest expense off the table at that point so that you can take advantage of the compound growth in that retirement plan to maximize that asset so that it can be available to generate income in retirement. And then if we can do both, grow the assets and, you know, ultimately be debt-free, including our house by retirement, then, you know, we're in pretty good shape. The caveat to that would be twofold. Number one, you just have an absolute conviction from the Lord to be debt-free as soon as possible. And if you have that, I would say you need to follow the leading of the Lord and do that. Or two, and that's your case, which is, again, very rare, you don't have need for this 401k based on the planning and the other savings that you've done. And if that's the case, then the question is, okay, what's the wise way to do this in terms of from a tax situation? Because if you're still working, you're over 59 and a half, so you're not going to pay a penalty, but it is going to be taxable. So at the very least, you'd probably want to work with a CPA or accountant to determine what's the withdrawal rate that you want to follow on this 401k to not trigger higher taxes where you'd push a portion of this up into a higher bracket. So you may decide rather than, you know, pulling the whole thing out in 1 year and all of a sudden your, you know, taxable income swells dramatically in 1 year, you may spread it out over 2 or 3 years just to keep those tranches smaller because they are going to be taxable. So that would be the counsel that I would give. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Thank you. Okay, I agree with the retirement.
Good.
We don't retire, we refocus.
Yeah, if some say from retirement to rehirement, you know, I think it's the right idea that we refocus our energies, recognizing in that season of life, we have the most wisdom and experience to serve the Lord with. And my friend Mitch Anthony says we don't want to retire from something, we want to retire to something. And so we need to always be thinking about what that next assignment is from the Lord. But Kevin, grateful for your call today, my friend. God bless you. Lakeland, Florida, Mike, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I was talking to a friend just recently, and he mentioned to me that he got involved with a money-making venture on Facebook. He said he put money in there, but then he asked when he wanted some money back, they told him that he would pay taxes on the entire amount, not just the growth, but the entire amount. He didn't have any email traffic because the person would only chat with him. The person would not talk to him on the phone, but only through a chat. He said she had an accent. I was telling him, I think it's probably a scam. And I said, if you could, see, can you get some money back? If you have to pay taxes, you pay taxes on it. But again, I wanted to get your advice on that as well.
Yeah, I'd run for the hills on that. I'd try to get, I suspect he won't be able to, I'd try to get his money back as soon as possible, regardless of what tax implications there are. You're not going to pay 100% tax on anything, and the question is really not the return on his money at this point, given what you're describing. The question is the return of his money. It's likely a scam. If you don't understand it, you shouldn't do it. And, you know, these financial scams on Facebook and social media are rampant. What you need to look for typically in these situations is people asking you for money who you don't know in person, who you can't meet and put eyeballs on, people asking you for advance fees to receive a loan, prize, or other winnings, people asking you to move your conversation off Facebook, for instance, to a separate email address. Of course, if they're claiming to be a friend or relative in emergency, that's a red flag. Poor spelling and grammar errors, because usually these folks are overseas trying to, English is not their first language, and that becomes apparent. So, yeah, this is likely a scam. I would say it most definitely is. And he needs to try to get his money back as soon as he can.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I give him a call now.
All right, very good. Thanks for your call, Mike. Deontay in Oklahoma City, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 28, and my wife is recently went from working in the marketplace to being a stay-at-home mom, and she has very little in her 401k. After tax, it's probably like $13,000-$14,000, and we have maybe a few thousand dollars in debt, but it's not like a credit card debt or anything like that. Just trying to figure out, what to do with it. We do want to kind of make money on it as it sits, because we just don't want to put it in savings and nothing going on with it. Just trying to figure, what to do with that.
Yeah, I would roll it to an IRA, Deontay, and you could either do that at, Schwab or Fidelity and just put it into, broad market index ETF. So essentially where you're capturing the whole market, and you could do, 100% of it in the stock index, or you could do a, maybe 70-30 stocks and bonds and just forget about it. The other approach is to use one of the robo-advisors. You could open an IRA with Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, and that would take a little bit more. It's still an automated solution, but it would build the portfolio with a little more intentionality based on the algorithm that's in there. And that would be driven off of questions that you answer. So her age, risk tolerance, goals and objectives. And then it would build a low cost ETF portfolio that has a mix of, large cap and small cap and international and domestic and also some bonds there as well. So I think that would be a great solution for you, given the amount you have here. It's very low cost and you're just trying to capture the broad moves of the market over time. So that's Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, or Betterment would be the other one. We appreciate your call today, Deontay. Hey, let me finish today with an email from Naomi. Naomi wrote to us over the weekend and said this. Naomi writes, "My boyfriend was let go from work last year. He has credit card debt and college debt. I'm debt free. I've been saving to buy a house. We may get married in the next year, May. Should I use the money that I've been saving for a house to pay off his debt, or should I just keep paying as we go?" And Naomi, don't pay off that credit card debt. Sorry to be so emphatic about that, but here's why. If the Lord allows you all to marry, great. When that happens, two become one, including your finances, but not before. And here's the thing. It sounds like you're being very responsible in managing your money and saving for the future. And I'm not saying he's being irresponsible because he had a job situation, but what I'd like for him to do in preparation for potentially marrying you is do the hard work to get this paid off, not you just coming in and wiping it out, because I really want you all to come together in terms of how you're going to handle money as a married couple, if that's the way the Lord leads. And this would be a great way for him to develop that discipline of getting it paid off. So I would direct him to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Let's let them get the interest rates down, get him on one fixed monthly payment, and start making progress on that. In the meantime, you two come together and start talking about how you're going to handle money as a married couple, if the Lord leads that way. But again, he is your boyfriend. He's not your husband. You need to continue being a steward of your resources that God has entrusted to you until such time as you all are married. And we appreciate you writing to us today at questions@moneywise.org. God bless you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. We covered a lot of ground. So thankful for your calls, for you being along with us today. Want to say thank you to my team as well today, providing research, Robert Sutherland, Mr. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer today, and Pat Montague doing a marvelous job handling our phones today as well. So grateful for your involvement in the program. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.